This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Staring at the world through my rear view, just looking back at the world from another level, you know what I mean? I stare.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, last hour of the show. Warriors This Week, Evan Giddings, Dan DeBohm, Steven Rizzotto behind the glass. And we just continue to learn more and more about our statistician, Dan. Now, you know, it's not baseball season yet. We're creeping up there. But Pasta might have the most random yet impressive knowledge and command of baseball statistics of anyone at this station.
It's not random, it's just comprehensive. He knows everything.
Well, it is.
And he's sort of like you.
It is random, though.
He's sort of like you in that he's sort of an old soul. He knew Sid Fernandez, the drop of a hat. Sid Fernandez is well before your time there, Pasta. Sid goes back in the day.
Well, I know Evan's a big reader, and I know he's a big reader of sports books. I am too, and there's a good one about the 86 Mets that I just happen to read, so I do know Sid Fernandez.
Oh, so right now, actually, I have one book that I do want to read. I forget the name of it, but John Wooden wrote a book with Feinstein, John Feinstein.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's something about, you know, life lessons through basketball. But I'm house-sitting right now for Steinmetz, and I'm not going to tell you where it is. But this book is one of the ones that's like front and center down in kind of like the man cave area. And I don't know if he's been reading it or whether he wants to, or it's just like kind of like the Bible for him, but I feel like I'm required to now read this book.
Yeah, I think that...
Oh, no, sorry. It might not be Wooden. It might have been Auerbach. Or an Auerbach.
Oh, okay. Big difference, because I think John Wooden... I mean, what was it? Was it?
Yeah, sorry. It was Red Auerbach and John Feinstein. Let me tell you a story, a lifetime in the game.
You know, just getting back to the 86 Mets, and then let's get back into the Warriors. That book you're reading?
The 86 Mets.
You know one of the most fascinating things that I read about that 86 Mets is that game, the Mookie Wilson ground ball through the legs of one Bill Buckner, just prior to that, with two outs and before the comeback, the games at Shea Stadium, and that was game six, by the way. That was not game seven. The scoreboard in New York for less than 5 seconds flashed, "Congratulations, Boston Red Sox World Series champions 1986, before the remarkable comeback.
Yeah, that whole thing is sad. Like, Bill Buckner, like, almost had 3,000 hits, over 300 lifetime batting average, really good player, and then just overshadowed by that one awful moment.
Yeah, see, I don't really feel bad for him. I don't.
Oh, come on, man. He got ran out of Boston.
He shouldn't have even been in the game.
No, I feel bad for Steve Bartman. I don't feel bad for one of the guys that missed one of the plays.
Still can't find Steve Bartman.
No, that guy's life is... That one I feel bad for. That guy's life was ruined.
Meanwhile, there was like 35
by
other...
Moises Alou.
35 other hands that were reaching for the same damn ball, you know? It could have been like five other people next to him. They were all going for that foul ball.
There are some plays, though...
I sat in the seats, by the way.
What?
I sat in his seats.
What? Is there like a ghost there that is going
to
come up?
No, I just wanted
it, like,
to.
Marked off?
It was a game against, I don't know who the Cubs were playing, but I just wanted to sit in his seat to see that perspective.
Is there a special seat that it's like, oh, this is where Steve Bartman's at, kind of thing?
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where it's like painted a different color and it has like...
That I don't remember. I remember I was in his seat with three other people. Yeah.
But that's kind of how sports goes. Like during the Warriors championship runs, there's moments that you're going to remember a player that was a good player, but unfairly, I'm going to remember James Harden dribbling the ball off his foot in Game 5 of the 2015 Western Conference Finals. Like, I'm going to remember him as having 14 turnovers in a playoff game. I'm going to remember what other bad news bears type of moments for opponents.
Well, Super Bowls are the same way. Everybody aspires to get to the Super Bowl. But Jackie Smith, go back in the day, you drop a wide-open touchdown pass, you'll be remembered for all the wrong reasons. And so as much as you want to be in that limelight, don't screw it up because those memories are indelible.
And oh, J.R. Smith, Game 1, 2018 Finals. There's just a lasting...
Timeout? Or no, he didn't
know. He didn't know the score. Yeah. And LeBron James is...
He was dribbling
the
out the...
Stone. What the hell are you doing?
The score was tied and he was dribbling it out, thinking that they were up.
Yeah, he got... First of all, he got an offensive rebound
beat Kevin Durant.
Free throw.
He beat Kevin Durant to the ball.
He bailed KD out by not knowing what the score was. The Warriors lost that game. That one would have gone down to the books
just
for
to get
LBJ.
It back to Steph Curry and the Warriors. In games like that, in those big games, Steph Curry really does have another gene when it comes to closing. I mean, you just feel it. It doesn't matter.
He also
threw
the ball behind his back out of bounds. And...
No, but I mean, and you know what I'm talking about. That those shots that you really need, whether it's the playoffs or regular season, Steph Curry is burying that thing. So it's not only about 56 against Orlando and doing a dance and a shimmy, but it's those big shots and the big moments. That's what puts him in the conversation of the greatest of all time. It's not about the numbers, but it's the ability to close. Like, that's a gene that few people have.
Which is interesting because if you look at some of the clutch stats, like, you know, game-winning shots, I don't think he has a ton of them. But I think that, look, Steph is the guy that if you're down 8 and need a basket in the fourth quarter, like, he'll get you the bucket. And that's actually what was hitting me during this road trip. And I realized that not every game was against a great opponent or, you know, the Knicks might have been missing a piece. But there was never really a sense of panic. You know, it wasn't how are they going to blow this. It was how are they going to figure this thing out. That's the question that kept entering my mind when they went down 22 to Brooklyn or they were down 14 at the half to Orlando. And even against the Knicks, I think they were down 8 at the half. I wasn't sure if they were going to win the basketball game, but I felt like they were going to figure it out. They were going to be in the game in the final moments. And that's actually why I believe that this team is legitimately dangerous this year. Whether you think that, whether you're with Dan or I, that we think this is their last best chance. I think there needs to be a lot of urgency on this season because I don't want to rely on, you know, the aging core coming back next year and just running it back. But this year, this team, if you get them in a two-minute game, fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, game's in the balance, they don't just have the, you know, to your point, a great closer in Curry, but I think they have someone who is, number one, not afraid of the moment in Butler, but he's going to make sure that the possession is maximized. And it doesn't have to be his shot, but one reason why I think they're able to put together these runs when they fall behind early is because Butler doesn't turn over the basketball. He gets good shots for players or himself, and there's less empty possessions for the Warriors than there were before he got here. You know, even if it's Pods taking the shot or Moody, like, they don't have very many empty possessions.
And he's so fundamentally sound. You always hear about Steve Kerr talking about that 2-foot jump stop. And you mentioned John Wooden. That's right out of John Wooden. Just a 2-foot jump stop, pump fake, and go back up again. He is so fundamental. And you know the other thing I like about Jimmy Butler that I guess I wasn't this aware, and I certainly watched him play as much as anybody else, probably more so than most. I kept an eye on him in Miami this year. But He's not a whiner. And if there's one thing about the Warriors, I'm sorry, even during the remarkable run, going back to Iguodala, even Steph to a certain degree, certainly, and it begins and ends with Draymond Green, but I think a lot of the personality of that team, and one of the reasons why after spending time on the East Coast, people don't like the Warriors, is because they have the reputation of whining a little bit after every single call, especially Draymond. And one! Like the whining... is just whining is never a good trait for a grown man. Once you cross the threshold of age 21, forget about basketball. Never whine. Just don't whine. It's not very becoming, especially if you're a single man trying to attract the opposite sex or someone in your own sex. Whining is not a good thing.
That felt like an unnecessary detail aimed at me.
It was not. You're overly sensitive. So, as it relates to one Jimmy
Butler.
That
was absolutely in.
Jimmy Butler. Well, you don't want. But Jimmy Butler is not somebody that buys into that culture. I have yet to see him. You know, I'm sure he chirps about, I need a call here, or I'll talk to the ref. Like, come on, man. But there's not that, come on, or flailing or writhing on the floor. Like, didn't you see that? I just got mutilated. Maybe it's just a personal rant, but it's nice to see a player on the Warriors that's so good that isn't doing that. No, Clay was the same way, and no one was better than Andrew Wiggins. Say what you will about Wiggins, but young man was just in his own world and was not somebody that was going to whine and complain.
But that fits Wiggins' personality. The thing that I've been impressed with about Butler is like he is a fiery individual. He is extremely competitive, and all these guys are, but I mean from the standpoint of like actually emitting competitive fire. We see Butler, we've seen him do that, but he never complains to the refs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I want to say he has 3 texts this year. You know, I'm not exactly sure, but the point is, he doesn't get technical fouls. He doesn't get ejected from games. He doesn't cost his team. And from that standpoint, I'm always fascinated about how guys can, like, turn the switch on and off. Because he has this reputation of being... I don't know, maybe it's just because of his time that ended in Miami like a malcontent. But when he's on the court, he channels that competitive fire about as best as anybody. And that's another reason why down the stretch of a game, like if there's a bad call, tough call, you know, I worry that Draymond might get a technical foul. I worry that Steve Kerr might get a technical foul. But Jimmy Butler is, like, he's cool, man. He's cool hand Luke in the clutch.
And you know who could learn from that as a young basketball player is Anthony Edwards. You cannot get your 16th technical at this part of the season and miss a game. And the game he missed was against Utah, and Minnesota lost that. Every single game counts. For teams like that in Minnesota, maybe you can even include the Golden State Warriors. The playoffs have begun. You got to stack wins. It's not just Detroit. In early March, this is a big basketball game. The game against Portland, the game against Milwaukee, the game against Denver, these are all significant games. So as a young player, you cannot get your 16th technical and miss a game against Utah and lose that game. There's a good chance Minnesota loses to the Golden State Warriors by a game, or their fate will be decided by one game that young player, Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, missed because of getting his 16th technical. It shouldn't happen, man. Should not happen.
Well, the Warriors also shouldn't have lost to, you know, Philadelphia. So they gave him a game back, you know. By the way, Dan, 7-game homestand, pardon me. The final, basically, homestand of the season. Detroit tonight, 5:30, Warriors live, 4:30. Mark Grange's got the call for you here on 95.7, the game before Tim Roy takes over at 5:30. Portland Monday, Sacramento, New York, Denver, Milwaukee, Toronto. 7 games. I know you love this.
Oh, I'm not doing this.
What's the record?
I'm not playing this game.
They just went 4-1 on the road trip, Dan. I think we both had that. I know you got confidence in them.
Can they go
5-2?
I'll let you do that.
Can they go 6-1?
I will say it's going to be fun to see how they match up against the better teams and the bigger teams. Milwaukee,
Portland?
Man. Make fun, man. Make fun.
No,
you just wait a year. Enjoy it now.
No, what you are an NBA stock investor. You are buying stock in every single team that's got an average age of 18 and a half, and then your stock is going to blossom in here.
But watch out for Milwaukee's playing very well of late. Milwaukee's a chance Milwaukee could catch the New York Knickerbockers for that 3 seed, but that's another story. But I just want to see, like, against the good teams. And I know the win against the Knicks, the Garden was significant, but there was no Karl Anthony Towns, but, you know, there's no Jonathan Kuminga. It's still the biggest win, I think, in the Jimmy Butler Warrior era. Just let's see with not only good teams, but good teams that are big. I want to see how they match up against Jokic. Because J.J. Redick, really sort of his signature win is that victory that they had against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
And they blew out Denver. And what it is that he did defensively against Jokic, where he just draped him. And then, of course, he had to screw everything up by saying, yeah, I've been up for three nights thinking about this. Just people don't need to know that. Don't shine a light on yourself.
Whether he's a good head coach or not, and I'm fine with eating crow on J.J. Redick, I still can't stand him.
It's hard. I don't like LeBron, but you got to recognize what's going on over there. And what LeBron is doing is just amazing. And by the way, come on, man.
What?
You cannot...
Simmer.
You cannot go after Stephen A. Smith because he said what you deemed as being sort of derogative comments towards your son, Bronny.
Yeah, he's going after the kid. Go after LeBron... You and I have had this conversation before. I have never said anything about Bronny James. I don't make fun of Bronny James. It's not his fault that he's in the NBA. It's his father's fault. So everything that I have said that is defamatory or making fun or negative has been about LeBron James. His kid is not in this. That's the way that I look at it, and I think Stephen A. Smith is someone that has kind of walked that line, and LeBron felt like he went over.
But he hasn't gone over, because essentially all anybody has said is exactly what it is that you just echoed, and that is that LeBron James moved mountains to put his son in the NBA, and his son isn't good, so of course he's going to catch strays. And I'm talking about Bronny. And does LeBron really expect people? He knows the game. It's like when you sign up to be an NBA player, which is what it is that you wanted your son to do, even though he was not ready, even though he wasn't a starter at USC, you wanted him in the NBA next to you so you could play together. And you went as far as to say 2 years ago when he was a junior at SC that he was better than half of the players on your own roster with the Los Angeles Lakers. And so now that he's up and he's not good, you don't think that you're going to catch, you know, take some blows? He should have at some point blown into Bronny's ear. Look, you're going to be in the NBA, and this is how it works. People are going to go after you, but you're now a professional athlete, and this is all part of it. You can't go after Stephen A. You can't go after me. You can't go after the media. No,
he didn't go after him. He just sternly talked to him after a game.
And then my man Stephen A. just the next day just let me down. That was when he had the platform.
And he went on to crush him?
First take and say exactly what I said. Exactly what I'm saying right now. It's like, this is nothing personal against your son, but if your son comes into the NBA and doesn't belong in an NBA basketball team, guess what it is that I get paid to do? I'm going after him. And I'm sorry that his last name's James and he's your son. You're a hell of a father and you're a good person. But you want to bring your son into the NBA? Well, he's going to catch some arsenal, man. And that's just what you signed up to do, and that's what I'm here to do. The young fella does not belong in an NBA team. I don't even know if he belongs in the G League. That's just fact.
Well, and I don't know when the comments that were made are the ones that LeBron is, you know, addressing, but, like, Bronny James is not a story anymore. He's just not. He's sitting in the South Bay G League Lakers team, whatever team he's on. He might be on the bench for a couple games. Like, Are we still doing this? That's my question.
Is it got dusted up with Stephen A. the other night?
Well, yeah, but if you're LeBron and you haven't had a chance to talk to, I appreciate the fact that he talked to him face to face. You know, at least he was man enough to talk to him toe to toe. Like, he didn't just tweet at him or do what Stephen A. does, which is sit on his ivory tower and call people out from the New York studios. You know, and he helped Stephen A. too. I'm sure he boosted his ratings for whatever show the next day that he did on First Take. Stephen A., look, like, just don't talk about his kid. You know, his kid isn't doing anything that demands him to be in the limelight. And if you're LeBron James, I don't think he also minds a criticism coming his way. He's just don't make it about the kid. The kid has done nothing. It's not his fault.
I won't talk about the kid if you didn't put the kid in the NBA.
Well, when it happened, we all discussed it, and it was a story. And
are you saying don't talk about it? There's no story there right now. Why are you talking about him right now?
Well, why would Bronny James ever be brought up in a conversation about basketball right now? It's the stretch run. Teams are playing well. We're pushing towards the postseason. He's not a story, nor will he be a story until he proves himself to be worthy of an NBA roster.
And is that what LeBron was upset about, a recent conversation that Stephen A. had about Bronny?
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, okay. I don't imagine they cross paths very much in person.
Yeah, he's probably just waiting for New York, one trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing where he sat, the front row.
It's not like he threatened him or anything, at least from the context of the discussion that Stephen A. relayed.
I just think I respect LeBron in that typically he understands the game. Like, you know, in Luka's first game against his old team, the Dallas Mavericks in L.A., LeBron had an amazing game, but LeBron immediately walked off the court because he wanted all the attention, wanted everybody to focus on Luka, as well they should. He understands these sort of things. So I'm just surprised LeBron would even do that. It's just, it's all part of it. It's all part of what it is that you and your kids signed up to do. It's going to be like Stephen A. Things are going to go, quote-unquote, viral, especially if your son sucks.
Although I do have one friend, he's just like, he's a massive LeBron fan, but I think it's hilarious. Every time that Bronny has a big game, you know, because I think he's scored like 20 or 30 in the G League or something, he'll send me a picture of the box score every time Bronny does well. And I'm just sitting here thinking, don't you have something better to do with your time than keep tabs on this player that will never amount to anything?
One thing about LeBron James and his kids, they seem like nice people. I always get back to this because I like nice people. Same thing with Chavano, and same thing with...
You don't like Buddy Hield?
I don't like him as a player. I think as a person, I think he's just a really nice person. And I think Bronny is just a good person. And I think all of this, I think they're just, like, I think he raised good kids. I think he's just I actually think LeBron, if he wasn't so damn fake, is actually a nice person. I don't see him as, you see enough of him on the court in interviews where you're like, yeah, that's a malicious or that's a bad person, or I don't like the way that dude is wired. But I don't think LeBron has that gene in him. I think he's just a nice guy. I think he's really sort of juvenile behind the scenes, which is, you know, right up my alley.
While we're on the topic of media, people inserting themselves and just people calling out folks for no reason, you want to do the Barkley Perkins stuff right now?
I'm curious what the caller has to say. I think they're going to go after me.
Oh, Mitch is in New Jersey.
Oh, it's Mitch.
Hey, Mitch, good morning.
Oh, good afternoon. How are we doing? Good show. First of all, I wish LeBron would just take 2 seconds and twist into a pretzel, but he's better than that. He has no right to be talking about his son. He shouldn't. He doesn't want to. He's such a fraud. He always sounds like he's mad at everything. Like he's a know-it-all. But I think Ronnie has some ability. Let's not turn him down like he's a little person. I want to say that word that got up to the plate in the 40s just to get up to walk. This is not a clown show. I think he has some ability. Lakers are making a mistake. Let him play a little more. See what he really has. I hope he can make a career out of it. Not a one-hit wonder, a one-hit flash in the pan.
Thanks, Mitch.
Appreciate it, Mitch. All right. Here's Charles Barkley calling out Kendrick Perkins and apparently his future employer.
I saw a fool idiot on TV talking about the Lakers save the NBA.
Save the NBA?
Yeah, yeah. He's an idiot and a fool, but he know who he is. What's his name, Shaq?
Which one are you talking about?
Kendrick Perkins. Oh. He said the Lakers, first of all, the Lakers have had a great 2 weeks. He said the Lakers saved the NBA season. That's because them fools on the other network, which we're going to be working for next year, that's all they talk about. Let me tell y'all something.
Tell me something.
And first of all, I want all the smoke. I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard or anything like that.
I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard.
Right. Like that, man. Stealing that
Kenny.
One. The Lakers are doing great. Got a long way to go. But the reason the season's been going great for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, y'all just want to talk about the Warriors and the Lakers. They're both doing great. Don't get me wrong. If I turn out to be wrong, I got no problem with that. But y'all are idiots because y'all talk about the Lakers and the Warriors all the time. Y'all don't The Cleveland Cavaliers have won 12 straight games. The Oklahoma City got the MVP, and they are on fire. Y'all are talking about who's in second place. That's the reason I get pissed. Hey, the Lakers are doing great. I don't mind being wrong. The Warriors are doing great. But that's because you fools on other networks, which we're going to become fools next year. We'll be working on that network. But Oklahoma City and the Cavs been balling for 6 months. Y'all talking about teams that had two great weeks.
Your thoughts, Dan DeVoe.
That's why he's the best. You can disagree with him, but that's why he's must-watch TV.
And a fool and an idiot on the other station that we're going to be working for.
That's a guy.
We're going to be fools and idiots in 6 months.
He does not. That's somebody who does not give a damn. Like, he doesn't. If ESPN said, you know what, we don't want Charles after these comments, he could care. He'll take his fishing pole, go back to wherever it is, Alabama, wherever the hell it is that he resides, and he's fine. That's hilarious.
I think it's pretty good, man. All right, we got to get a break here. 888-957-9570.
I'm with Kenny. I don't walk by a graveyard and whistle.
I've never heard that one before. I don't walk by the graveyard when I whistle. Oh, all right. We got one more segment on the other side. I don't know where the hell we're going. Warriors this week. Evan Gettings, Dan DeVoe. We'll be back after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Start spreading the news.
Is that what Steph Curry sings before every single performance in New York City?
He owns the Apple.
He owns the Garden. He owns Barclays. He owns what's the Kendrick Lamar line for Control? King of the Coast, I juggle them both. That's Steph Curry, man.
Sounds right.
West and the East. Beast in the East and the best in the West. Steph Curry.
Nobody, even L.A. brings out celebrities like Steph. Or nobody has celebrities courtside like New York. Even L.A. can't go there. Once you get past Fat Joe and you start bringing in, suddenly, you know,
well, okay.
When Seinfeld shows up.
Ben Stiller
has season tickets.
Stiller. Well, the thing that I struggle with, it's like this in L.A. too. There's always like the, you know, kind of the pretty boy group. And I'm always wondering, like, who are their dads? You know, like these 16 to 22-year-olds. I'm assuming they're not self-made men. Maybe they could be. I don't want to take credit from them. But
you're talking about non-celebrities.
Yeah, well, at least I don't know who they are. Yeah. I'm assuming that they're actors. I'm not sure, or business people, but they look like they're prepubescents.
Yeah.
And they got the perfectly coiffed hair. They're wearing some style from yesteryear that they're trying to bring back, and maybe they got a young thing in their arm. I'm like, who's your dad?
Yeah.
Or who's your mom? What bank do you belong to? And that's the vibe that I get from the NYC courtside people. I mean, I know. I'm sorry. I know that you sit in there too.
I wish.
I wouldn't be the one to question Dan Devone when he's sitting courtside at the Garden.
Never.
But.
The issues I have, and this is true for any arena, is that when you see kids courtside, and they're not even watching the action, or they're on their phone, or they're tugging at mom's blouse because they want another $75 hot dog. It's like, God, man. All the faithful and hardcore fans that would give a body part for that seat, and you got some snot-nosed kids sitting there, some privileged little kid who could give a rip about the game.
Well, that's kind of how sports are nowadays. I mean, I don't want to make it out to seem like it's just Madison Square Garden, though that might be the hottest ticket or most expensive ticket just by the venue. But, I mean, it's expensive to sit courtside at Chase Center. It's expensive to sit if you want to be behind home plate at Oracle. It's expensive if you want to be, 50-yard line, fifth row at Levi's Stadium. It's a white-collar sport or white-collar business. So you got to have bread if you want to be close.
They priced out the average fan. Average fan can't afford to go to a game, can't take your kids to a Warriors game. What are you, out of your mind?
No, but
another mortgage out in the house.
I will say I felt like a lot of my friends that, don't make a ton of money, they pooled their cash together to go to, say, like the Andre Iguodala retirement ceremony, because those tickets are pretty expensive. I think it was... it was a Sunday, midday, national television, Clay's back in town. Those tickets were like $230 minimum just to be in the building. And I think the appreciation that a lot of the old-school Warriors fans had, that showed out at that retirement ceremony, which led me to believe that, fans are unfortunately priced out, but if they really want to, like, those are the kinds of games that they'll shell out the bread for.
You gotta love the Dallas Mavericks again. Because they obviously trade Luka, they ruin the franchise, AD's out with an injury, you just screwed up the ACL that belongs to Kyrie Irving, and oh, by the way, the same week, we're raising ticket prices by 8%. God bless. You know what the NBA's
got? Those guys, you think they're really trying to get to Vegas?
No.
I don't know if I buy it either, but everything that they've done or that's happened so far...
It's Dallas. That's not a small market.
I know it's not. It's number three in the country. It's a bigger market than the Bay Area.
Yeah. How about them Cowboys?
Yeah, mostly because of that team. No, DFW is huge. Like, I've lived there. It is massive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I lived kind of a little bit north of Dallas in Frisco. And it is a massive market. There is so much... I mean, all the tech companies from the West Coast are moving down to Texas. But... I'm wondering, like, are they really trying to sabotage this thing?
Seems like it.
It feels like, it looks like it. The team is absolutely an abomination right now.
But you know what? I think that, and Lakeham has got to follow this lead. So the Utah Jazz are one of one. Say what you will about Danny Ainge. I don't know how you feel about Salt Lake City or the Salt River or Mormons. But Utah is lowering concession prices considerably. They're like, enough of this. Let's get a little bit more fan-friendly. And I think that needs to sort of, like catch on. Like this is crazy. Be the first, Laker. Be fan friendly. I know you got to make up your money. I get it. The real estate out there at Chase is ridiculous. You've got overhead. I get it. I understand how business works. But still, come on, man. To go and get a couple of beers is going to run me, seriously, what, 75 scoots?
Yeah, $1 a sip.
I mean, it's serious. I just think the first that's like, you know what, let's just make this a little bit more accommodating to the fan. It's gonna benefit us from a PR standpoint. I mean, look at me. Two guys in San Francisco talking about how the Utah Jazz got it right. I mean, it goes a long way if you just cater to your consumer base once in a while.
Yeah, but that's also dictated by the results of the team. I mean, and that's what I think is a major slap in the face that Dallas is raising their season ticket prices. It's because you tank the product. It's an Oakland Athletics, you know, slants route. Like, it is right out of that John Fisher playbook. You tear down the team, you raise ticket prices, you force people to not. And this is not they're not the only ownership group that's done this. The Chargers also did this too when they were trying to get out of San Diego. You know, there are breadcrumbs right now that are leading me towards them wanting to get to Vegas. But the issue is that I don't know if they're going to be able to get there before another team actually is added to the league and moves there. You know, Willard brought up something that I hadn't considered, which was the gambling market in Las Vegas and how that's going to be growing. But even so, like, the taxes are relatively similar in Texas and Nevada. Is gambling really that large of a budding economy that it would help you grow your economy, your team's economy, more than the number three market in the country?
There's other ways if you want to move your team to Las Vegas than to sabotage and trade away your best player and raise ticket prices. You don't have to have everyone to hate you is not the road you need to
necessarily. Well, it certainly helps, though.
I don't think they're going anywhere. It's just really bad, bad management. And it's just a really bad GM by the name of Nico Harrison. That's what's going on there, man. So
at the trade deadline...
By the way, you know the
stocks of GMs.
The Dallas Mavericks... So when you think about the trade for Luka, it was sort of a long-term play, although they could win the title this year, who knows, with the Los Angeles Lakers. But I think Luka is going to be the face of that team for the next 10, 15 years if he, you know, gets in shape at some point.
Well, he won't, but he still will, yeah.
And I think it was a short-term play, right? That's what they said. So Nico Harrison said, we're looking to win now. And so they wanted AD to win a championship this year or next year.
Yeah.
And that's over. Kyrie Irving has got an ACL. That's... I mean, Jamal Murray was 2 years.
Yeah.
You're looking at a year and a half, so he could miss all of next year.
Jamal Murray was 25. Kyrie's going to be 35 by the time he's back.
Jamal Murray, yeah, so Kyrie Irving is going to miss all of, there's a good chance he's going to miss all of next year. AD is going to be, you know, already 32, 33. They missed the window. The whole reason you got AD was to pair him with Kyrie Irving and win right now. You just traded Luka Doncic, and that's over. Kyrie's done for the next 2 years. You missed your opportunity to win right now. That's the reason why you did it. You wanted to win now. The Lakers are looking to win in the future with Luka. You screwed yourself on so many different levels.
Well, and as someone who, look, I don't mind Los Angeles. It's not my favorite city. I would much rather prefer to be in San Diego if I'm going to be in Southern California. You bailed them out. The Dallas Mavericks bailed out the Los Angeles Lakers because beyond LeBron, they had no backup plan. They had nothing. And I know that that's a town that's always attracted free agents and maybe they would have found the next one. But it's like, I just hate that they're the ones that were chosen by Nico Harrison to be blessed with a generational superstar in his prime.
It's kind of good for basketball, I have to admit. I hate the Lakers as much as anybody else, but there's something about when L.A. is good that's just good for sport.
Well, I think when any of the major markets, it's good for sports, but you're right. I think it's the blue bloods, right? It's, you know, New York City, Boston, L.A. I mean, that's kind of the
list. Nice to be Chicago. Get back to being good again. That's a terrible franchise.
Well, they've only been good when Michael Jordan's been there. I mean, it's not like they were good before him, and they certainly haven't. I know they had a couple years with Derrick Rose that unfortunately came to a skidding halt. But Chicago is, That's a city, to me, it's a little bit like San Francisco in that if the team is good and there's a product, like there's going to be coverage. I mean, you know, I don't know what the Bay Area is going to be beyond Steph Curry. I don't know if they're still going to lead shows and, you know, Joe Lacob's going to have a challenge to try and keep this team in the limelight by acquiring star talent. But, you know, it's not as if the Warriors have been able to get, outside of Durant, people to just want to come and play here. You know, outside of Steph Curry, I don't know if there's been another player in the franchise's history that the best talent in the league says, that's where I want to go.
I think they created that during their run. I think that the reason Kevin Durant came here, and there was, remember they always wanted to get, you know, whether it was Pachulia or some of those players that they, you know,
ring chasers,
guys that just wanted to close out with a ring. The Warriors became a destination there for a while. And it was never that way before. I mean, you never wanted to go play in the Bay Area. But I think that with Steph, people are like, yeah, I want to play with that dude and Draymond and Clay. What they created, it became a landing spot. What, getting back to Luka, I don't think Dallas is one of those cities. Like, Dallas was never one of those, although it's a big market, people don't say, I want to go play or live in Dallas. L.A.
I think people say that about Texas just because of the taxes.
I've never seen Dallas as a place that gets free agents. Like, I've never seen that but the getting back to Luka, is that the stars were aligned where you actually got a star. And so many things had to fall your way. Remember, Sacramento was on the clock. They didn't want Luka because their GM, Vlade, had an issue with his dad. And then, of course, Atlanta bundles things with Trae Young in that trade. So Luka actually falls to you, a generational player. And you don't get these sort of players. Like, it's not a landing spot. Again, it's not a place where free agents are like, well, you know, what's call up my agent because tell me what Dallas is doing because that's where I want to go. But you got Luka, and then you traded him away.
Are you telling me that Luka Doncic is actually one of the least desirable players in the NBA because Sacramento didn't want him, the Hawks didn't want him, and now the Dallas Mavericks don't want him? There's actually a lot about this guy we've not discovered yet.
I love the fact that he hasn't lost a pound since he's been in L.A.
It doesn't look like it.
At some point, he's got to, but maybe he doesn't. And everybody said, well, LeBron's going to rub off on him. LeBron gets to the arena 4 hours before tip, and he's going to start eating quinoa and green smoothies. And he looks like Luka.
Well, maybe he's just everything in moderation. I mean, you could drink as many green smoothies as you want, but if you're drinking 4,000 calories of green smoothies, it's not going anywhere.
He's an Italian.
Is he? I think he's Slovenian. But that actually brings up an interesting point because this idea.
Could you go beer for beer with Luka?
He'd kill me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd do my damnedest. But, dude, I'm. Oh, so I was at this place last night.
There we go.
Shocker. And there was a scale. I forget the name of the establishment. It was a going away party for a buddy. He's moving to London. And so he rented out this place. And,
in the city?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's actually not too far away from here. I forget what it's called. Tunnel Tops or something?
Oh, Tunnel Top.
Yeah, Tunnel Top.
It's a legend.
Yeah.
Right on top of the tunnel, the Broadway tunnel.
Yeah, really cool bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he rented it out. And
Tunnel Top or something. Come on, man.
Of course,
it's an institution.
Of course, you would know.
And they got the little back room, they got the bar, and then there's the room to the right.
Yeah, and you can go up the stairs and there's kind of a little look around.
Oh, that's
spot.
Right. They got that little speakeasy sort of up there.
Yeah, so within the speakeasy, there is a scale.
Oh.
So, of course, everyone's having drinks and, you know, we're feeling good. And it's like, I bet I could guess, you know, whatever you weigh. You could guess whatever I weigh. And so I stepped on the scale and it's like, Jesus, eat a sandwich. Dude, I got to get back in the gym, man. I am tiny.
Oh, wow.
Teeny tiny.
I would think that's the last thing I'd want to do, pounding beers. Just get on a scale.
Well, it's mostly water weight. You know, it's going to go away anyways. But, yeah, if Luka Doncic got on a scale at Tunnel Top, over under 274.5 pounds, I'd take the over. He's a big boy.
He is.
And it's not like, I mean, I realize his game doesn't, you know, lend itself towards speed or pace, but it's like he didn't, speaking of, we were talking about Charles Barkley, someone who does not give an F. Luka Doncic does not care what you think of his body.
He really
like,
doesn't.
Does not care if you think he's fat, if he smokes cigarettes during halftime, if he's blowing hookah after the game, if he's chugging Slovenian light beer or thick IPAs right before he steps onto the Staples or Crypto.com court. He does not care what you think about those moves.
But at some point, I think if it starts messing with your money, you care. Because the only way to make money is that you get. Well, he's got that extension coming up.
Well, but technically it did. If the reason why they traded him was because he was out of shape, then it did mess with his money because he's no longer eligible for a Supermax.
Well, that's what I mean. So if he wants to extend the career, usually the light goes on by now. It did with his brethren, the Joker. Joker was always pudgy. You ever seen pictures of the Joker when he was a kid?
Well, he's still a big guy, but he's in shape.
No, but he lost. Since look at when he first came into the league, like 4 years ago. He's dropped a good 35, 40, 45 pounds.
But he's still a big boy, but you can tell when you see him get up and down the court, like clearly he has improved his stamina. You know, he can play 38 to 40 minutes, and he is not going to be as gassed as he was, I don't know, even as recently as 5 years ago. Like, he's gotten into better shape as he's gotten older.
Luka, though, there's times where defensively he's just standing there.
Another reason why I think he works well with the Lakers is they got four other guys that are interested in playing defense. You know, it's kind of, I mean, that was the template for Dallas last year when they made the trade for Washington and Gafford. They started Derek Jones at the three, and they basically had three defensive-minded players behind Doncic and Kyrie, and so it didn't matter that they couldn't defend anybody up top. All they have to do is deny a three-point shot, and there's three 6'10" and above players behind them that can make things difficult.
Yeah, I think that the comparisons between last year's Dallas team and this year's Laker team are really similar. It was the middle of the season. They flipped the switch to Dallas, and they became the best defensive team. And that's exactly what's happened to the Los Angeles Lakers. Their defensive metrics are off the charts. And also, I think the Lakers and the Warriors are so similar. We talk about the joy now with Steph. How about LeBron now?
I was just about to ask you, who's benefited more from their trade, Steph or LeBron?
I'd say Steph, because LeBron was doing this before the trade. I mean, he was playing really, really well. But it certainly changed his entire outlook.
Yeah, and that's why I would argue that, like, Doncic is a better player than Butler. But the Jimmy Butler trade, I mean, if this thing turns into something special, it's going to go down as one of the greatest midseason acquisitions in the game. Because it wasn't like the Warriors added a player to a team that was on the cusp and like one move away. It turned out that that was the piece, the one move. But again, this season was headed for purgatory and just another damning playoff miss season. And he, along with his impact on Steph, have completely flipped this thing around. And so, again, while Doncic is the better player, I think that the Jimmy Butler trade has clearly been more impactful to the Warriors than Doncic has been to the Lakers.
I just think, again, we have to remind ourselves just to let this breathe a little bit. Well, I think we should qualify it that it's been good to this point.
I mean, but they're 10-2.
And yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, but you can't have an early exit in the playoffs, and you got to get to the playoffs. You don't want to get into that play-in game and then lose again to Sacramento, which...
Do you feel confident they're going to keep the six?
I feel more confident that they're going to catch either Memphis or Houston. So, no, I think they can get in the five, just because those two teams are not playing well at all. Memphis, Jaren Jackson Jr. is out with a bad, ankle now?
Yeah.
And John Morant has just not been the same. And now they diagnose something wrong with his shoulder. And I always maintain this, they'll go as far as Ja takes them. And Jaws has not been good. And they haven't been good for over a month. Same with Houston. And who's Houston's again? If it gets down to it, who's your number one?
That's their biggest problem. I mean, Fred VanVleet's been hurt for them.
He's really, really important to that basketball team. He's really, really important to that basketball. And he hasn't been around for a while. But that should tell you everything you need to know. If VanVleet is that important, how hard is it going to be for them to go get somebody as good, if not better, than VanVleet in terms of a veteran next year? They're clearly a year away.
Well, that's why I was surprised that they didn't think about making a move at the deadline. I know that the sentiment was, we want to see how far this team can go, and then we'll adjust during the summer. But if you're the Rockets, I think you do have to seriously consider trying to go get a Kevin Durant.
He'll be there next year. Durant will be in Houston in uniform.
I thought it would have been Dallas before all this... before the Jenga Tower just collapsed.
Yeah, I think Kevin Durant's going to be in a Houston Rocket uniform.
And then that team, I think, could legitimately be scary because you actually have a number one.
You know, the good thing about the Warriors and the trade is that my biggest fear, I didn't think this would happen with Jimmy Butler. And my biggest fear about getting Jimmy Butler is that you have an aging player and all that money was the contract. It's not about the here and now, but it was about next year and the year after. And that you would have given up draft picks, Jonathan Kuminga, your youngest players. But the fact that they basically shoplifted and fleeced and stole him from Pat Riley and the Miami Heat. Yeah, you hate to lose Andrew Wiggins, but I think you would do that every single day of the week if you could do it all over again. But the one thing you did not want to be, and that's where I thought the Warriors were headed when you're talking about getting Jimmy Butler or getting Paul George, is you don't want to be stuck, right? So you've just mortgaged the future with all your draft picks, your young players, and now you got this one player who's on the hook for $90 million for the next 2 years, and he's 35 years of age. The Warriors, believe it or not, like, Phoenix is stuck right now.
Yeah, they're dead in the water. That's why they have to trade Durant.
And Philadelphia is stuck when you think about the money that they've spent. There are teams that are stuck. You don't want to be stuck with older players and like, what the hell are we going to do? The Warriors, if it doesn't work out with Jimmy Butler, or let's just say they're disappointing in the postseason, they, believe it or not, still have some maneuverability there.
Yeah, no, and that's why I know Dunleavy said after the trade we picked a path. I don't necessarily buy that because, again, if this thing blows up miraculously, spectacularly, they can pivot. They're not completely siloed into one thing. They still have to Lacob's term, optionality. But the thing about the Warriors now is they're also a little bit more of a destination for free agents. I think that's what is encouraging. The only issue is that they're probably not going to have a lot of money to do so, you know. But like they're playing awesome basketball. I'm also excited to see Detroit tonight. So like I'm gonna be at the game, I'm going to Chase Center. Really excited to see Cade Cunningham because not too much of a drop, but thank you, Pasta. Yeah, I'm excited to see Cade. That dude is, I think he's a little too ball dominant for me, but on that team he does a nice job orchestrating everything. He's kind of like a little bit more like an athletic Luka.
You know, well, this was last week, so I don't know if this still applies, but this time a year ago, they were in single digits in wins. They had like 9 wins on the season. You talk about what a difference a year makes.
Well, because of my boy.
Oh, Bickerstaff.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, just, you know, since, you know, Glaze Kenny Atkinson over and over, he's done such a great job in Cleveland. Yeah, but he couldn't do this in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I like young teams like that. You know I do. I think that that's,
I know you do.
I mean, that's where you want to be. That's the envy of a lot of teams when you have a young star and then you have young players around them that are really good. Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart's your muscle, man. He's got your back.
Looking forward to seeing him and Draymond. I didn't know he was only 23 years old. Isaiah Stewart, he's been in the league for 5 years.
He's 23?
He's 23 years old.
Man, when he went after LeBron, look at that video on YouTube. There was like, I don't know how many people were trying to hold him back.
Well, LeBron slugged him. It was leaking all over the place.
Man strength.
Looked like an MMA fighter after the third round. All right, Devona, you want to do it again next week?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Big thank you to Pasta, Steve Rizzotto behind the glass producing this bad boy. Big thank you to everybody who has chimed in, called in on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First and Racal Credit Union, all of our texters. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Warriors This Week. For Dan DeVoe, my partner in crime, my name is Evan Giddings, saying so long. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Warriors at it. 4:30 Warriors live with Mark Grandy, Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert on the call at 5:30 for the Dubs and the Pistons tonight at Chase Center. We'll talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Hurt a little, but I'm all right.
My God, son, what the hell are you doing?
364 more days till next year's hockey tryouts. I gotta toughen up. Yeah! Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.